The first reading is from Psalm 95, beginning at the first verse. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all God. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. And after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come, and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We know that you are always with us, and we thank you that we can know you and be in your presence. And we ask now, Lord, that you'd speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. Amen. Please be seated. So today is, as we're calling it, Vision Sunday, so the sermon will be a little bit different, but So as we move into this new season at Christ Church, when we're hearing God's vision and God's direction forward for us as a congregation, if you remember last week, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and as you'll remember, it describes us, the church, as Jesus' body. That's who we are together. Through God's gracious gift, we've been united to God and to one another, so that together we become Jesus' body into the world. So much of what Jesus continues to do in the world today, he does through his people, through us, that he's commissioned to do that. Now, we're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different gifts. And it's through being a part of the local congregation, part of a local congregation, us specifically, a part of this local congregation, that we then have the opportunity to use the gifts and the backgrounds and the talents and the abilities that God has given to his people. This is the context in which we then can use them in the way that they were designed to be used. And so that's some important groundwork, some important baseline understanding of what it is we're doing. We're together in this using our diverse gifts, diverse backgrounds for the mission that God has given us as a church. And it's going to take coming together, committing to doing this together. It's going to take creatively figuring out how to use the gifts that God has given us individually and corporately as a church to use our God-given gifts for ministry in the way that God wants us to. So that's important background, baseline understanding. But then what is God specifically calling us to do? What is the more of the specific vision that God has been unfolding to the leadership here for the future of Christ Church? So we're just going to jump right in. I'm going to give you a few different components. But the first component of our renewed vision together as Christ Church here for God's direction for us as a congregation moving forward, the first component is that God has been leading us to target some specific neighborhoods with gospel ministry. Through prayer and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we've identified three local neighborhoods that we're called to target specifically as a congregation. And those three are Lynxbrook, which is immediately south of us, Collins Creek, which is also south of us, just a little bit farther south, and then the Bays, which is just a little bit west of us. So Lynxbrook, Collins Creek, and the Bays are going to become our target neighborhoods together as Christ Church, trying to reach into them with the gospel. And so our calling is, as a congregation, to creatively engage these specific neighborhoods and reach into them with the good news of Jesus. I've already been speaking with some people here in this room who live in those neighborhoods about how we can partner together and then together as a congregation reach into these neighborhoods to which God has specifically called us to minister. And it's going to take divine wisdom. It's going to take creativity on our part. It's going to take work to figure out how to do that. But these are the specific neighborhoods that the leadership has agreed that our sense is that God is calling us to reach specifically there. You'll notice in a few minutes that in the prayers of the people, we're going to be praying specifically for these neighborhoods each week in the fall as we step forward together. God has directed us to specifically target these particular neighborhoods with ministry from the church. Those of you that know these neighborhoods will know that each neighborhood is different, and it's going to take creativity and wisdom in how to reach into these different neighborhoods. In one neighborhood, I was talking with some parishioners that live in that neighborhood, talking with them about how can we reach into their neighborhood. And one of the things that they came back with is they said, well, our neighborhood actually already does some good outreach things. Maybe our church could partner with what they're already doing. And being the local church and joining them, join their food drive, et cetera, as opposed to just trying to get them to come here, but actively going out and partnering with what they're already doing as the church in their neighborhood. Showing that we at Christ Church really do care about the community in which God has placed us. We want ways for people to come here, and we're also looking for ways for us to go out in Jesus' name into these communities that he specifically called us to go. In another neighborhood, we already have people in this room who are already actively reaching out to some of their immediate neighbors that don't know Christ, that aren't a part of a church. And what we want to do is come alongside and support and partner with them to say, how can we as the church support the ministry that you're already doing in your communities? And how can we creatively expand that, etc.? So it's going to take creativity and excitement, but we've already got some exciting things happening. The neighborhoods are different. They've got somewhat different demographics, different characteristics, different feels to the neighborhoods, and that's part of what's going to make this fun. And it's going to take creativity and wisdom from the Lord in how to walk this out. But this is the clear vision, the clear direction that he's been guiding us to go. Now, one question that people may be asking is just simply, why these neighborhoods? Because there are a lot around us. Why these specific ones? Very simple, two answers. One, as the leadership prayed, this is what we agreed, we sensed very clearly that God was leading us in these directions. So the first part of it is obedience to the Lord, a clear sense that God is calling us to step out and go in these into these neighborhoods. A second part of it is look where God put us. This is the physical location that God in his wisdom chose to put us. This is the land, this is the property he chose to give us. And so he didn't put us out on Route 17. He didn't put us in Surfside Beach. He put us right smack in the middle of these neighborhoods, Lynxbrook, Collins Creek in the Bays, and a few others. Right here, this is where he wants us, this is where he's put us, this is where he's calling us to target with gospel ministry. Now, of course, we will always continue to try to reach out to anyone and everyone. Of course we will. Of course we will. Regardless of where you live, where I live, we are absolutely going to continue to invest in and partner with you in where you are and anyone else that joins and comes in, even if they're not in these communities. We're not excluding anybody, but we're focusing in on the specific areas that God has called us as a congregation to target. But I don't live in this neighborhood, so where do I fit? I don't live in one of these neighborhoods. I actually personally don't. I live in another local neighborhood, but not one of those three. We're all in this together, and God has called Christ Church as a congregation to minister in these neighborhoods, not only the groups, the families, and the individuals that live in those neighborhoods. So it's going to take creativity as we together target these neighborhoods. But first of all, pray. I know you hear me say that a lot, and I really mean it. I'll actually tell you a little bit later about another area of prayer and the incredible open doors for ministry that we've seen as a result, but I'll tell you that in a minute. Pray. Seriously, I really mean that. Pray for these neighborhoods. Pray every time you drive by them. Pray for people to be receptive to the gospel. Pray for creativity. Pray for God's wisdom in how to reach people in these neighborhoods. Park your car, get out of the car, and go walk through the neighborhoods and pray. Pray for these neighborhoods that God has sent us. So often, you've heard me say this before as well, so often God chooses to wait to act until his people pray. So God has told us these are the places he wants us to target. These are the places he wants to use Christ Church in a special way. So pray for that. Pray that in, because God has told us very clearly, and I'm telling you, God wants to use Christ Church to reach these neighborhoods in which he's put us. So part of our first step, part of our calling together, is then to pray for that vision and pray that God would do what he's told us he wants to do. So pray. Join in the ministries that are going to take place. You don't have to live in the neighborhood to partner with what's going on. Join in as those strategic steps become clear. Join in as we figure out how God specifically is calling us to step into these communities with the gospel. Now, I want to make clear that we're looking to reach people who are not Christians, or people who are not actively engaged and connected with a church, people who for a variety of reasons aren't connected with the church. So the people that we are really trying to reach here are people who don't know Jesus at all, not Christians, and or people not connected to a church. We have no interest in what people have called sheep stealing, which is someone who's actively engaged in being discipled and serving in a church, and another church comes along to try to steal them and convince them they should come to our church, not yours. We have no interest in that. Let me make that clear. We are not a business trying to steal customers from another company. That is emphatically not what we are trying to do, and I just have no interest in that whatsoever. People change churches for a variety of reasons periodically. I get that. But the goal here is not to go find other Christians and come to our church instead of their church. That's not what we're trying to do. We, as Christ Church, are one outpost of Jesus' kingdom, and the outpost that he decided to put right here. And so he said to us, I'm giving you some marching orders to go and try to reach these communities in the community where I've placed you. So go do that work here. As I heard one person say, talking about this subject, they said, guys, just remember, there are more than enough lost people to go around. A healthy church is always trying to reach people that don't know Christ. A healthy church is never trying to convince Christians to come to our church instead of their church. That is actually the quintessential mark of an unhealthy church. A healthy church wants to do gospel ministry and share the gospel with people not connected to a church, distant from God, don't know Jesus. And that's who we're called to try to reach. Now, as a part of that, we've mentioned this a couple times, we're continuing to get up and running what we're calling a new residence ministry, and that's quite simply trying to, as people move in, go and personally invite them and welcome them to the community. Some of them, of course, are going to be committed Christians, they just moved to town, and some of them will be in different situations, but that's one part of that. And if you'd like to learn more specifically about being a part of that, talk to me afterwards. So again, I want to be clear that targeting these neighborhoods, we're not limiting whom God can reach through the ministry of Christ Church, but we're focusing in on the specifics of what God is calling us to do. And so just imagine, we're put right in the middle of these neighborhoods. Imagine the day when instead of having about 10 families or individuals from those neighborhoods that are members here, imagine when we have 10 in each neighborhood, and then 20 in each neighborhood. Imagine what that's going to be like for those communities, and then as those communities build up, and as we've reached into that, and as we're faithful, this is a very biblical concept, being faithful with what God's entrusted us to do, as we're faithful in that, I'm absolutely confident what God's going to start to do is expand out which neighborhoods he's calling us to target. And we need to be faithful with what God's called us to do, focusing in here, and then as God does what only God can do, we'll see what happens. So the first component of this vision that God has been giving very clearly to the leadership here is focusing on and identifying Lynx Brook, Collins Creek, and the Bays as target areas for prayer and ministry. The second component of our vision for the future is the, have you guys seen this on the corner? The Thrive Assisted Living Facility, right there on the corner of Prince Creek Parkway and 707. That is literally our immediate neighbor to the north. It's 3/4 of a mile from our door to theirs, but there's nothing in between us. That is our immediate neighbor to the north. Now, some of us have been praying for that place. Here's that. When I was talking about answer to prayer, some of us have been praying for that place since we saw it starting to be built. I pray for it every time I drive past it, which is multiple times a day. And we have already, they haven't even opened yet, and we have already seen immense favor from that place. We've already had multiple directors from different departments call us, drive down, talk to us, set up meetings just to figure out how we can partner together for ministry to their residents and their staff. If you want to talk about an answer to prayer, and they also just want to give us a thank you gift of a check because of the way we've already partnered with them. I mean, let me just tell you, that doesn't happen unless God's doing something. And we've sensed so clearly that God is calling us to partner there with that specific place. We've actually tried to create a partnership with another assisted living facility not very far away. No one was rude or anything, but it was very clear that it just was not an open door. We were trying, it was not the same thing. And here, as we've been praying for months for this place, as they're moving in this month, I think their administrators are in now and the residents start moving in at the end of the month, even before they've come in, they've come and talked with us about how can we partner together, you're the church in our community, how can we partner together for ministry to their residents? And we've had a very clear sense that that really is God's open door into that place. And so we're going to come up with creative ideas of ways we can go there, they can come here, but this is a partnership that we sense very clearly that God is calling us and directing us to form. God has placed us intentionally here in this community, and that's one of the places. So if you actually notice, this was not on purpose, but if you notice, if you were to look at these four things I've mentioned, the three neighborhoods and the Thrive, they basically form a circle around us. And God has, without identifying that as the purpose, we realize God has called us to minister in places literally immediately around the location where he's put us. So we've got the three neighborhoods, Lynxbrook, Collins Creek, and the Bays, and then the Thrive facility are our targets for the future. Now, a third aspect of our vision for the future has to do with, this is getting into a little bit more of the strategy, but a third part of this has to do with our core ministry community life groups, which I've sort of described community life groups this way when I was interviewing here. Someone said something like, they're small groups on steroids. And if you know what community life groups are, that sounds about right. So they're church small groups, but they're more than that. Community life groups serve together. They invest financially in things together, in ministries together, serve here in the church, care for each other in tremendous ways. They sort of really are church small groups on steroids. But that's a core part of who we are as Christ Church. It's been built around these community life groups from the very beginning. I've heard, one of our core values here at Christ Church is sort of the family feel. People feel like we know each other and are close with each other, and that's a value of ours. That's on purpose. I heard one teenager here say, you know, one of the things I love about Christ Church is that it's a big family. And that's on purpose. That's what the church is supposed to feel like. And one of the main ways that we experience that is through community life groups. That's intentional and that's on purpose. And so, in the coming year, as our church reaches out, as our church reaches new people, as the church, healthy congregation continues to grow and do gospel ministry in new places, and as we continue to do that, our goal, and I'm laying this before you, our goal and our challenge as a congregation is to, in the coming year, multiply community life groups into starting at least two new groups in the coming year. Now, community life groups are not just let's get three people together and call it a group. I mean, it's more than that. It's small groups on steroids. I mean, it's a real group together. But we're laying out the challenge and the call that as a congregation, one of our goals is to expand that ministry into two new groups this year. These groups are designed to be, when people meet together, to be 8 to 12-ish people. Who serve together, learn together, study the Bible together, have fun together, care for each other in Jesus' name. And so I've heard some amazing things about the way community life has worked, the way people have stepped out in outreach, gospel, evangelistic ministry together, the way people have just done an incredible job caring for each other in their community life groups. And in order for that to really continue and the ministry to grow, what we want is we want to expand the number of groups, not just make groups bigger. And so we're calling for the goal of two new groups forming in the coming year. And groups can form in a variety of ways. God can lead someone to sort of branch out. God's calling me to start a new group, and I'm going to talk with Van Westen, our staff member who oversees Community Life Group. God's calling me to start a new group, and I'm going to go talk with Van about what we can do to make that happen. That's one way a new group can start. God can bring together new people. As new people start to come in, they can form a new group instead of getting connected with existing groups. Groups that already exist can multiply into multiple groups. We're not going to come along and tell any group you have to multiply. That's not what I'm talking about. But as groups grow and as healthy groups really grow and expand, what we want to do is we want to begin and challenge people to multiply so that that wonderful ministry can continue and not get too large. So again, no one's going to come and say to any group you have to multiply, but I'm laying that challenge out to us as a congregation for two more in the coming year. Van, who, as I said, leads that coordinates that ministry, can help people get involved and also help leaders get started and helps new groups form as they move towards multiplication. As we reach out to new people in the community, our stated goal is to expand the ministry of community life groups to include at least two more in the coming year. So the unfolding vision that God has given to Christ Church involves actively targeting these three neighborhoods, Lynxbrook, Collins Creek, and the Bays, partnering with the Thrive facility for good gospel ministry with both the staff and the residents there, and then with community life groups expanding to two additional community life groups to extend and expand that ministry in the church in the coming year. And lastly, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 1, verse 35. This was read this morning. John chapter 1, verse 35. This is the last component that we'll talk about this morning. John 1, 35 says this. The next day again, John, that's John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Two men have an encounter with Jesus, Andrew and his friend, and one of them, Andrew, then goes to tell his brother about this encounter and to invite him to come with him to have an encounter with Jesus as well. And as it turns out, that Simon Peter is the famous Peter, one of the most significant and influential Christians, followers of Jesus in human history. All started when Andrew had an encounter with Jesus, went and invited someone else to come in and have an encounter with Jesus as well. And so as our next step in moving out in our God-given vision and mission, our next step together as a congregation is we're going to start a congregation-wide project that we're calling the Invite 200 Initiative. Quite simply, we as a congregation are committing as a congregation, this is our challenge, as a congregation to make 200 personal invitations to people to participate in the life of Christ Church. Say this with me. Not that. This. The gospel message is so good that we want everyone to be invited. Say it again. The gospel message is so good that we want everyone to be invited. And that's the point. The gospel message is so good, we want everyone to be invited. In the same way that Andrew encountered Jesus and went out and invited his brother Peter to come and do the same, that's our model. That's what we're called to do. We've had an encounter with Jesus, and then we're called to step out and invite others that don't know him to come and have that encounter as well. Now, we can't control conversions. We can't control conversions. We can't control commitments to Jesus. If we could, we would, for crying out loud. That's something only God can do. We can't control if someone will come when we invite, barring kidnapping, we can't control if someone comes when we invite them. What we can control is a personal invitation that we make to people in our lives. That's the part we can control. That's the part we know that we're responsible to do. We can control personally inviting a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend to participate with us in the ministries of Christ Church. We can control our act of inviting. So that's what we're going to commit to doing as a congregation, making 200 personal invitations to ministries at Christ Church throughout the fall. And because this is so important to us, we're going to keep track of personal invitations that we make. We're not going to keep track of who makes them. That's not the point. What we want to keep track of is who is invited, so we can both keep track, so we have a goal, and far more importantly, so that we can pray with you for the people that you're inviting. If you invite someone, please let us know. Email us or write it on the back of your Connect card on a Sunday. Let us know so that we can keep track. And I know, I for one, but I know there are others that are committing to do this as well, will pray every day for the people you say you're going to invite or the people you have invited. If you tell us who they are, we will begin praying every day. I'm committing to praying for them every day throughout the fall if you tell us who they are. Email us or write it on the back of your Connect cards. Now, an invitation includes any personal invitation to any of Christ Church's ministries. That's an invitation to Sunday morning, to church, an invitation to your community life group, an invitation to the women's Tuesday morning Bible study, to a new neighbor that moves in, whether it's in those neighborhoods or not, whether it's technically a part of the new residence ministry or not, any personal invitation, a child inviting another child to Sunday school, a teenager inviting a teenager to youth group, everyone, youngest to the oldest, newest attender to someone that helped plant the church 10 years ago, doesn't matter. If you're here and you make a personal invitation, then you're joining in the call that we're giving to make the first 200 invitations, because the gospel message is so good, we want everyone to be invited. If you make a personal invitation, that counts. If you invite someone today and then you keep working with them and talking with them and you invite them again in 3 weeks, that's two personal invitations. I don't care if it's the same person. You took the step of asking, and that's all we can ask. That's all we can control. So if you step out and lovingly make an invitation, that's what we're asking for. That's the way we can begin to step out together. Again, the gospel message is so good, we want everyone to be invited. At this point, I'm going to ask Reed Wester to come up and give a little bit of a testimony and talk a little bit about how some of this has impacted him and invitation. So Reed, come on up.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Reed Wester. My wife, Sarah, and our two children, Emily and Charlie, have been coming to Christ Church now for about 8 months. And a little bit of that story is what I wanted to talk about this morning. I talked about this with Michael a few weeks ago, and he asked me to share it with the congregation. So let it be a lesson. Watch what you tell Michael. A little bit of the history from Sarah and I. We grew up in church. We grew up really from the time we were born all the way through, you know, every time the doors were open, we were there growing up. So it's a natural fit for us. And kind of fast forwarding to moving to Myrtle Beach, we came to Myrtle Beach about 4.5 years ago, and we didn't really put a whole lot of effort into finding a church. We were renting a house. We said, oh, when we buy, we'll find a church. And, you know, we decided to build instead of buy. And Anybody that's done that knows that that nine-month process, you know, 2 years later, we finally moved into a house. And, you know, we kind of got serious at that time and found Christ Church online and, you know, really feel like this is where God's put us. But kind of in that interim is what I wanted to talk about. I really feel in my heart, and I know Sarah does as well, that, you know, any time in that kind of 3.5 years, had someone that we connected with or somebody that we had met invited us to their church, whatever church that was, I know we would have went. We didn't really know anybody here, didn't really have friends. We'd have gone because we knew we needed to be in church, but also because we, you know, wanted to meet people and that kind of thing. So I say all that to say, you know, not saying that, you know, why didn't you guys find us 3.5 years ago? That's not the point. The point is I want to encourage you to do what Michael's asking us to do and what he believes and we believe that God's asking us to do, which is just talk to somebody. There are a ton of Westers out there that are just, you know, they'll want to get to know new people. Maybe they're new in the neighborhood. Maybe they've been there for 10 years. Maybe they've been there longer than you, but you know, maybe they just haven't gone because they got used to not coming. So anyway, that's kind of what I wanted to say. So thank you.
Thanks, Reed. When we were talking, which, yes, this should be a lesson to you about what you say to me. But when we were talking, I just was hearing that, you know, here's a couple who, I mean, I heard him say, you know, yeah, I bet if we'd connected with some of the people that we'd connected with here already, if we'd connected with them outside of church and they had invited us, you know, I saw them 3 times and they said, why don't you guys come with us to church? He said, we would have been there. And so the question then becomes, who are the Westers in your life and in my life? And the point is, if we never reach out and invite, we would never even know. And so who are the people in our lives that we can invite? If there's nobody in your life that you know that isn't already actively connected in a church, then that the challenge is then going to be to you and to us is to go where non-Christians are so that we can meet people and connect with people that don't know Christ so that we can share and invite. Who do you love enough to invite? Who do you love enough to invite to have an encounter with Jesus? Because the gospel message is so good, we want everyone to be invited.